I'm Matthew Petty, and this is Intersection. Nineteen U.S. states recognize same-sex marriage, but Florida isn't one of them. Because of the lack of recognition by the state, same-sex couples face a slew of challenges when planning for their future.
Florida, we don't recognize same-sex marriages. It says a spouse makes decisions in lieu of not having a document. Well, then you don't have anyone there because Florida's not recognizing that same-sex partner.
Pierre Vogelbacher, Vice President and Senior Wealth Planner at PNC, joins me to talk about these challenges and how same-sex couples can plan for their financial future in Florida. But first, after an exhausting 18-month job search, ex-felon Jose Melendez finally found a job as a sign holder on Colonial Drive. Jose has become an instantly recognizable character on Colonial Drive as Mr. Gold, the hat-tipping, gold-suited sign holder who waves to passing cars. Orlando photographer Brian Carlson takes a look at Mr. Gold's story and his plans for the future, and Brian and Jose join me to talk about the film. That's ahead on Intersection. Joining me in the studio is Brian Carlson. Brian's an Orlando-based photographer. His latest documentary, it's a short film called Mr. Gold, and it takes a look at Orlando's iconic sign holder. Brian, welcome to the studio.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And we're also joined by the subject of this short film, Mr. Gold, a.k.a. Jose Melendez. Jose, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Jose, I want to start with you now. You people who drive along Colonial Drive going past McGuire will be familiar with the sight of you standing there wearing the gold suit and the hat, promoting the Diamond Exchange jewelry store. This isn't the first time somebody from the media has kind of taken a look at you and what you do. I know there was an article about you in the Orlando Weekly not too long ago. What's it like having that sort of media attention?
It's great, but it's a blessing as well. You know, I love the attention that comes with it, but I know it's also a blessing for me to reach out to people that really needs to hear my story, really needs to have that motivation to do something with their life. Because I know there's people out there who are dragging, just feel like the world just turned against them, but it's not really like that. You have to, you know, I want to be the motivation for you. I want to just show you that, hey, I did it. You could do it also, but you have to make a move. You have to push forward. You just can't sit back and let it come to you.
Mm-hmm. So we'll ask you a little bit more about the background in a bit, but I want to ask Brian now, you know, what was your inspiration for creating this short film?
I mean, to give credit where credit's due, I one of the big things was Orlando Weekly. I saw the article and I just thought, well, this guy's got an interesting story. He's got a good, you know, perspective on things. But I live right near where he works. So I drive by him every day and, you know, I'd have a bummer of a day or he would, you know, I'd see him and he'd just brighten my day and I would just go, you know, it's a good day, you know. Jose's out there, he's doing his thing. I didn't know he was Jose at the time. And so just really inspiring. He does this thing with a flair and he's got this joy with how he does things. It's just infectious. And I've talked with so many people since making this film that have agreed and said, man, like, I love him. I love what he does. Every time I drive by, I smile. And that was the biggest thing. And then Orlando Weekly doing the piece on him just kind of, you know, pushed it to a point where I knew I needed to do something. So I decided to just approach him and say, hey, I want to do a short documentary on you. So he agreed, thank God. And so did the Virginia Ann at Diamond Exchange. She was great, and she agreed to it. And so
I guess it's all good publicity for them.
Yeah. And, you know, they've been, you know, at first I was afraid that there would be like they would be, you know, pushing them to do stuff they didn't want to do, or they were going to be like these, you know, taskmasters. But I mean, they love him there. And Virginia Ann and her husband just adore him. I went and showed the documentary to him 2 weeks ago, right when I released it. And she just started tearing up. And she's, you know, she pointed at him and she was like, I want you to do that lawn care thing. So she's not, it's great to see that they want him to do what he loves.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's pretty short. It's like 4 minutes, maybe a little longer than that. Are you hoping to show it anywhere, like a short film festival? What's your kind of, what are you thinking for this film?
Yeah, I kind of promoted it locally through some friends that have some blogs, Mark at the Daily City, and then Matt at Bungalower. He did a great job promoting it too. Promote it through them, and then I'd like to start entering it in some film festivals. I'm still talking with some other blogs and kind of internet sites and stuff to see what they want to push it or show it, and got great reception. So it's already got 27,000 views, I think, in 2 weeks. So first week I had 25 and then tapered off and still going. So
is that like, what are those numbers like compared to other things on Vimeo?
They're pretty good. I don't want to brag, I mean, but they were pleasantly surprising. I had no idea that was gonna it was going to be anything like that. But those are, I think, from what I understand, those are pretty high. I mean, there's millions of videos released. So
sure. Now, yeah. Are videos kind of your bread and butter, or is it more still photography?
I did stills. I love stills. And then I just, you know, stills are, I just saw kind of the writing on the wall that I think video is more in demand and rich content. You know, people are kind of getting excited more about video than they are stills. And I've always loved stills, but I fell in love with movies to begin with, documentaries especially, and kind of real life stories. And so I decided that was where I wanted to go with it. And starting to do more films now. This is kind of my first major foray into films. So mm-hmm. hopefully I've got a few more. I've got two more ideas on local things, so you have to keep an eye out for those. They're really fun, quirky subject matter, so it should be good.
There's plenty of that in Orlando, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. I mean, you know, Jimmy Fallon has a thing where it's like, is it David Letterman used to have a thing called, is it Florida or is it Germany? And Seth Meyers says Florida or something like that. You know, like there's all these like funny, interesting stories going on. And there's a lot of great people here that, you know, for all its quirkiness, Florida, there's some really awesome stories. And, you know, everybody's got somebody who has a story around them that needs to be told. So,
mm-hmm. Now, Brian mentioned the lawn care business. I know that's something you talk about in the film. So you don't see yourself standing out on that street corner, Jose, forever. You've got other plans.
Not at all. I mean, I want to start my own landscaping business. I have experience in side landscaping. So that was something that I wanted to invest in, and hopefully, you know, like I said, bring people to work for me that need jobs. I mean, there's people out there looking for employment right now that need jobs and they're not getting the chances that they deserve. You know, I know that everybody makes a mistake, but everybody deserves a second chance. Mm-hmm. And I want to put a landscaping business to the, you know, to the fullest. I want to go ahead and put it out there and just provide jobs for them people.
And you're talking about people who have criminal convictions in their past?
Well, I mean, that too, but, you know, I also take other people as well, you know. But, I mean, I also want to, you know, get them involved too, because, like I said, I'm an ex-convicted felon, and I know how hard it is to get a job out there, and I want to be able to provide for other people, you know. And it's just not for ex-felons. I mean, it's also for other people too, because there's other people out there that need employment as well.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about your day if you're out there tipping your hat. I mean, do you get bored? You've got your music going, but is it kind of a grind being out there?
I kind of look at it as a workout because I work out myself. I work out at least 5 times a week, and I look at it as a cardio workout when I'm out there. So it's like I'm really working out, so it's really good for me.
When you finally landed that job, what was that feeling like? Because you say it took you some time to find it. It was a bit of a struggle.
I was blessed, you know. I mean, to have a job, I just felt grateful, you know, because, you know, everybody, I mean, I would put an application after application and I would get turned down, you know, and for them to give me a chance. And I mean, I was like, listen, y'all give me the chance. I'm gonna show y'all just how much I'm worth. And, you know, they gave me that opportunity, and I'm just blessed to have that job. Mm-hmm. The way I'm available to work, you know. And it's a gift that was given to me to be able to perform out there the way I do. It's a gift. It's a gift. I mean, I don't take none of the credit.
You were a bit trepidatious about putting on the suit in the first place. You say in the film that you were worried about what people from your neighborhood might think.
Yes, because, I mean, coming from the background that I come from, you know, the neighborhood that I come from, you know, people, they know me. They can never see as me put on a suit. That's not me. You know, when they look at me, they look at me as this, you know, this person that loves attention but ain't going to do nothing crazy. So when I put on the suit, people like, you know, I said, people find out. They're going to be like, what are you doing? This ain't even you. So, I mean, it was kind of like I was scared, shy at first. But you know what? You know, I need a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going back to what I used to do, so I don't have no choice. I'm going to work this job, and I'm going to work it like I love it.
What's it like getting into that gold suit?
I mean, I'm pretty used to it. I mean, at first, it was kind of like you had to get pretty much used to the material. And once you're in the material, it's pretty much you get – the sun really doesn't really have no effect on me, to tell you the truth. It's like I'm pretty much immune to it, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm. From the start, though, was it kind of an unusual experience having to get dressed up in that gold suit and stand out there in the blazing sun? I mean, it gets pretty hot in Orlando in summer.
Oh, yes. It gets very hot. I mean, like I said, it's just getting used to it. As when you get used to it, you know, the sun really doesn't have an effect on you. I mean, it's just like an everyday routine. And to me, it was like an everyday routine. I got used to the sun, so the sun really don't bother me. I got my music playing anyway, so I really try to blog out, you know, the sun.
Mm-hmm. What are you listening to?
gospel rap, gospel artists.
Yeah. Yes. That's kind of what gets you in the groove when you're...
Yeah, I mean, I love gospel rap. I mean, I love just gospel music, period. That's all I listen to, and that's what really gets my mind out there working.
Mm-hmm. You've got a certain measure of, I guess, anonymity, though. You've got the mask and the suit and everything. I mean, in some ways, it could be anybody out there, right?
Yes, yes. I mean, well, we had people, I would take some days off, and they would have somebody to fill in my spot. But they always knew that it wasn't me out there, and they would always call the store like, hey, where's the real Mr. Gold at? This is not Mr. Gold on the corner. So eventually they were like, you know what, we're not going to hire nobody else because anytime they would put somebody else out there that ain't you, they always call our store talking about, where's the real Mr. Gold at?
Mm-hmm. How long have you been doing the job for?
Almost 4 years now. 3 years and like almost 9 months.
Mm-hmm. And so as far as putting your lawn care business together, how long do you think you'll be still doing the Mr. Gold job?
I would say not long. You know, I mean, I love my job. I thank Virginia Ann and Mr. Jim for giving me the opportunity, you know, to have a job. But I mean, it shouldn't take me long. You know, I mean, hopefully no longer than 6 months if I get the opportunity to get my lawn care business. Hopefully I won't be there no longer than 6 months,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I want to be able to expand. I want to be able to reach out to people and get the kind of business that I need. And hopefully that my name, you know, alone could bring some business to me, and I could show them the kind of quality that I'm going to do for their lawn care.
You're not going to be wearing the suit with you when you go to your next business?
No, I mean, I wish. No, I won't be wearing the suit, but I just hope that whoever takes my spot after I'm done, you know, does the same kind of job I do. Do it with 100%. You always got to, when you work a job, you work a job 100%. You don't give 95%. You don't come slacking. I mean, slacking. You don't come, you know, come with a bad day. See, my day is when I come to work, I come to work. I don't come with my problems to work. I don't go out there and be mad because I'm mad at whatever happened throughout the next day. I come and I smile regardless because I love my job.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how people got to approach a job. And I hope whoever takes my spot comes with that same, you know, mentality of, hey, I love my job, because people expect that out there. They want to see you make them smile. You know, even people that are robbed by that are mad and they see you, they're going to smile too. You know, no matter what they're going through, they know that Mr. Gold is going to make you smile.
Have you ever had anybody say anything mean to you while you're out on the job or chuck anything at you?
When I first began working, you know, I got a couple middle fingers, you know, off, you know, somebody, you know, but I mean, very now, rare. I might get one once every 2 weeks, somebody might flick me off, but you ignore it. I mean, me, I ignore it. I just keep on pressing. You know, you're just one person. There's mm-hmm. many others that love to see me out here, so I'm not going to flick you back off, you know, or say something bad at you. I'm going to keep doing my job.
And it's a tough job market out there, I'm sure
I come across a lot of people, so it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Was there somebody that you said, like, somebody, the lady was walking by, and she said, they thought they saw a water bottle and it was full of like water for you to drink.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I got people out there that stop by and give me water, Gatorade, Powerade. Some people, this one lady, she stops by every other day and brings me a soda from Steak and Shake,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of thing is, you know, kind of awesome, you know, for people to actually think about me, the thoughts, you know.
Do you kind of chat to them and interact with the pedestrians on the street too?
Oh, yeah, yeah. People walk by me, I always give them a handshake or, you know, give them a pound or, you know, I always say encouragement words to them, you know, God bless you, you know, just encouragement words to get them, you know, through their day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they don't want to hear it, I still give it to them. Hey, how you doing, ma'am? How you doing, sir? You know, God bless you, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you've kind of become a bit of an institution there. And Colonial Drive, it's one of my favorite streets to drive on because there's always something happening. And you know, you, Mr. Gold, are kind of part of that landscape now. I'm just wondering how tough it's going to be for the people who employ you once you take off the gold suit and move on to other things. They'll have to find somebody else with a different kind of take on the act.
I think one thing I could respect about Miss Virginia Ann and Jim, they'll never want to hold you back. And they tell you that, you know, if there's opportunity out there for you, they're going to let you go out there and get it. And, you know, and I'm grateful to have somebody like that and an employer like that who will give me the opportunity. I don't think they'll try to stop me. I mean, I think they'll want me to push forward another opportunity, and they'll give me their wishes, you know.
Yeah, it was really encouraging to see that when I noticed there was something different about them. I didn't, you know, they were when I stopped by, it was they loved him. It was like it was part of the family, and mm-hmm. it was great to see.
There's a bit of a surprise at the end of the movie too. I'm not going to spoil it for folks who haven't seen it.
Yeah.
After the credits, which is it's kind of an interesting take on the movie too. But you got to watch it. So where can people see this film, Brian?
If you do a search on Vimeo for Mr. Gold, it'll come up. Or if you you can go to briancarlsonphoto.com under motion, and it'll be there. Or if you can't remember any of that, bit.ly/MrMR-Gold. Mm-hmm. You can find it there.
I've been speaking to Brian Carlson. He's an Orlando-based photographer. His latest short film is called Mr. Gold. Takes a look at Mr. Gold, the iconic sign spinner you would have seen on Colonial Drive, those of you who drive down Colonial around about Maguire. And we've also been speaking to Mr. Gold himself, Jose Melendez. Jose and Brian, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you
very much.
Appreciate it.
Up next, Pierre Vogelbacher, Vice President and Senior Wealth Planner at PNC, joins me to talk about financial planning for same-sex couples. Joining me by phone is Pierre Vogelbacher. He is the Vice President and Senior Wealth Planner at PNC. Pierre, thanks for joining me.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Well, let's talk about some of the challenges that same-sex couples face when planning their finances. What makes it, I guess, different for a same-sex couple when thinking about these things than a couple who aren't same-sex couple?
One of the biggest challenges is the changes in law and the differences in the laws in different jurisdictions. Right now, 19 states and the District of Columbia recognize same-sex marriages, but Florida still does not recognize same-sex marriages. Actually, back in 2008, by constitutional amendment, their same-sex marriages and civil unions were banned. So what you need to do is work with your professionals to make sure that your financial, tax, and estate planning needs are all taken care of and take into account these ever-changing laws.
There's kind of a patchwork across Florida itself, though, right, in terms of what jurisdictions recognize domestic partnerships or same-sex couples?
Well, that's true. In fact, Florida, I mean, in Orlando specifically, there is a domestic partnership registry, which is going to help with partners and their rights with regards to health care, facility visitation, health care decisions, things of that nature. But when I'm working with clients, within PNC, we actually have a planning group, which I'm part of, and we actually have a specific planning group which deals with same-sex marriages and same-sex couples. And what we really want to do is make sure that, you know, for instance, all our clients have wills, you know, regardless of, you know, whether they're straight or same-sex, you know, we want to make sure that they have wills so that if they pass away, all their assets go where they want them to, as opposed to letting the state, where we have, you know, these intricacies going on with the changing laws, and not get their assets where they want them to be ultimately. And that also comes into play when we're talking about within life and living with durable powers of attorney, and that deals with financial affairs. So if you have a partner and you want to make sure they can handle your financial affairs, if you're incapacitated or say on vacation out of the country and you have a house for sale, you need a power of attorney to handle that. Also taking into effect that you can't do that. Say for instance, your partner goes into the hospital and is incapacitated. Well, at that point in time, it's too late to get that durable power of attorney to handle their financial affairs, and it's also too late to get the other document, which is called a healthcare surrogate. That document is going to allow your partner to handle the healthcare decisions. So say, for instance, you go in and they need to put a stent in the heart and they didn't know that. Well, you want your partner to be able to make that decision for you, perhaps, then you need that document in place ahead of time.
It may be a silly question, but are these things that heterosexual couples don't have to worry about?
No, these are things that heterosexual couples do have to worry about. So a lot of the planning is actually the same, but there's unique circumstances for same-sex couples, because a lot of times when you have familial situations that come into play, and if Florida's law says that Florida, we don't recognize same-sex marriages. It says a spouse makes decisions in lieu of not having a document. Well, then you don't have anyone there because Florida is not recognizing that same-sex partner.
So is there,
you need these documents in place.
So is there like a kind of a chain of command when you talk about this? Like if it's not the spouse, who would it then? Who would the kind of the authority then default
to?
Well,
then it's going to go basically either down bloodlines or up bloodlines. So for instance, like with a will, if you don't have a will, it's going to go back up to, you know, grandparents, then down grandparents to parents. And you're going to go down, you know, basically correct, like a chain of command. So you definitely want to make sure that you have these documents in place. The other interesting thing that you want to take a look at is perhaps setting up a living trust, or it's called a revocable trust. A lot of people want some privacy, and this allows you to transfer your assets without going through the probate process. And it gives you some privacy because it's not going to be filed in the with the court. So a lot of times, you know, regardless of whether, you know, a couple is same sex or not, you want that privacy. So a revocable living trust would be a great way to handle that as well. And finally, when we're talking about this estate planning, I can't leave out the retirement benefits. You know, you definitely want to take a look. Retirement benefits are governed by federal law. And since DOMO was struck down by the Windsor case, federal benefits are there. And you want to make sure that all your retirement benefits and everything are aligned with your overall plan. So if you want them to go to your partner, they do, in fact, go. So, you know, there's a lot of intermingling of state and federal law. And you need to make sure that all your advisors, whether it's your banker, your attorney, your CPA, everybody's on the same page. So you can ensure that everything ultimately gets where you want it to.
When you talk about the Windsor case, that was fairly recent. Do sometimes people see these, you know, changes being made at the federal court level and say, right, things are instantly going to change to me, and then find that, hey, things actually take a while to filter through down to the state or county or city level or what have you?
Absolutely. It does take time. It does take time. And, you know, because we're looking right now that 19 states and District of Columbia recognize same-sex marriage. So in those states, it's a little bit easier than Florida. You know, Florida is unique in this situation because you have a state that doesn't, you know, the one that I've been reading a lot about recently is Social Security. You know, if you're in a state that recognizes same-sex marriages, well, since Social Security handled it at the state level, there's a lot of states that are basically on hold as to whether they are going to give the Social Security because they don't recognize the same-sex marriages, even though that's really a federal program. You know, on the other hand, when you're dealing with something like estate taxes, most people don't have to deal with estate taxes. The exemption, you know, unless you have for an individual is more than, say, $5,340,000, you don't have to worry about estate taxes. But now, if you are lucky enough to have that much money, if you're in a same-sex marriage and you're married, say, in Vermont, but you live in Florida, you can still, if one of you passes away, utilize that, you know, federal tax benefit. So we have to make sure that clients understand that while Florida might not recognize it, on the federal level we do. So,
what kind of demand is there for the services of an organization like PNC or other financial planners from people who are in same-sex relationships? I mean, is there more people in those situations coming to folks like you for advice and assistance?
I really think they are. You know, prior to coming to PNC, I've been here about 3.5 years. I practiced law for 11 years, and I always worked on this. It was always something that was, you know, something that was first and foremost to me. So I've seen an increase in the last, you know, 15 years or so I've been practicing law. It's definitely coming to the forefront. And, you know, it's also unique because, you know, when I worked with, you know, anyone, I always talked about prenuptial agreements. Now that we have a new category of marriages that are coming into being, and eventually probably Florida will actually have real prenuptial agreements. Prior to that, you know, we have contractual relationships as to property in Florida, but moving forward, there'll be prenuptial agreements, postnuptial agreements, and that's in other jurisdictions already. So it's just an area of the law that's really interesting because it's evolving, and, you know, people out there need help, and we need to make sure that, you know, they're getting to the right people, and everybody, all their advisors are on the same page.
Are prenuptial agreements common with heterosexual couples?
With heterosexual, oh, they're very, very, very common.
Right.
Very common. You know, I think that we all know, sadly, 50% of marriages tend to not work out, it seems. So prenuptial agreements, especially for people who are married later in life or who have children from a previous marriage, very, very important if you want to protect, you know, things that you had brought into a marriage. So if that's a concern for you.
It takes the romance out of it a little bit, though, doesn't it?
It does. And you know what I always did? I always said, blame it on the attorney. That's an easy way to get out of the trouble that brings.
How many of your clients would have gotten married in another state and then come here and then get into some difficulty with figuring out what to do in one of these kind of extreme situations, say the death of a spouse or you know, somebody in hospital and unable to communicate? Like, how many people would be sorted in whatever state they are from, but then come to Florida and find that things aren't working out and then have to try and, you know, play catch up?
You know, I can't remember any specific. I remember a couple when I practiced law, but since I've been with PNC, you know, we do tend to have a lot of people in Florida who are snowbirds who move down here, and they have property in other states, and those type of issues arise. Happily enough, you know, I'm not dealing with you know, I can't get into specifics of clients, but I think things for the most part that we've dealt with in my office, we haven't had any real issues. But I know they're out there, and I talk to my former law partner all the time, and these issues do come up, especially because we are a state where people move to retire.
Sure. What about the political angle? I'm not sure if you can comment on this at all, but obviously the issue of gay marriage can be sometimes a bit of a political hot potato, but there must be some, you know, aspect of planning at PNC that goes on to think, well, what's, you know, trying to think ahead sort of 5 years and say, what's the landscape going to look like?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, we're definitely trying to figure out the best way, if the law changes in Florida, mm-hmm. how we can best serve our clients. Absolutely. You know, we go, as an attorney, I go to a lot of continuing, you know, legal education courses, and there's actually a very large one here in Florida called Heckerling, which deals with taxes. And, you know, these issues are discussed, you know, the what ifs and how we can handle and best serve our clients. So it's definitely on the forefront, I think, of, you know, most attorneys' mind. And within PNC, we're definitely trying to plan for the future and make sure that we can take care of our clients if and when these changes do happen.
Any final thoughts about what people should be thinking about if they're in a same-sex relationship and they haven't sort of put some thought into their estate or a will or the kinds of authority you might have to think about if you get into an accident?
Well, first and foremost, make sure that, you know, you don't use, and this is a pet peeve of mine, I know, you know, there's a lot of advertisements for programs on the computer and things of that nature. Use a professional. I've seen too many instances where people have done the do-it-yourself type, you know, wills and trusts and documents, and they're not going to work the way the client expects them to. So definitely see a professional. Make sure all your, you know, advisors are on the same page. The left hand has to know what the right hand's doing. And then absolutely make sure that your loved ones, whoever they are, you know where your documents ultimately are and can get access to them so that they're readily available. Because say, for instance, you have a power of attorney and you lock it in a safe deposit box, and then something happens to you and somebody needs to use it and they can't get into the safe deposit box, it's not going to do any good. So you need to make sure that, you know, the proper directions are given to your loved ones so they know where these documents are so they can utilize them in case they have to.
I've been speaking to Pierre Vogelbacher. He's the Vice President and Senior Wealth Planner at PNC here in Orlando. Pierre, thanks very much for speaking to me.
Oh, thank you so much for your time.
The conversation about what's happening in Florida continues online at wmfe.org/intersection. There you can also sign up for our weekly podcast. Support for Intersection comes from our listeners. Brendan Byrne is assistant producer. I'm Matthew Petty. Thanks for listening.